Take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 14. We're going to start in Luke 14, then we're going to go over to 1 Kings chapter 1, and we'll spend a lot of our time in 1 Kings chapter 1, and some in chapter 2 as well. Luke chapter 14, and I'll read verses 7 through 11. Luke 14, verse 7, it says, "And he put forth a parable to those which were bidden, when he marked how they chose out the chief rooms, saying unto them, When thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee and him come and say to thee, Give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, Friend, go up higher. In the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." So here Christ gives some important teaching in our lives. The importance of humility, the importance of putting ourselves down, allowing ourselves to be exalted really under the hand of God rather than promoting ourselves. And he gives them the instruction that when you go somewhere, don't choose out the important spot. You know, choose a lower spot. Here he observed people coming in. And they were choosing out the chief places, you know, the best seats. Maybe if you are invited to a supper at the governor's mansion, you know, where would you sit? Would you say, "Ooh, okay, let's see, there's a seat open right next to the governor. I'm going to sit right there." Christ is saying, you know, you need to choose a lower spot. And you need to be invited to that primary seating location. I'd like us to go to 1 Kings chapter 1 and also chapter 2, and I'd like us to look at a Bible example here of somebody who exalted himself, and I'd like us to see the destruction that follows. Christ said, "He that, you know, exalteth himself shall be abased." And self-exaltation is something that starts at a very young age. You know, probably some of you have heard of the 2-year-old's Bill of Rights. You know, it's something like, if I see it, it's mine. If you have it, it's mine. If I want it, it's mine. You know, if you're playing with it, it's mine. And, you know, self-exaltation, that promoting ourselves, it begins at a young age. And it automatically stops when you're 18, right? No, it doesn't. All right, but it's something that we need to allow the Word of God to work in our lives and mold us into the image of Christ, who, though he was, you know, Philippians chapter 2, you know, though he made himself what? Of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. 1 Kings chapter 1, we find here David is dying. He's coming to the end of his life. And we're going to look, let's look in verse number 5. It says, "Then Adonijah, the son of Haggith," all right, one of David's children, "exalted himself, saying, I will be king. And he prepared him chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him." You know, what was Adonijah ultimately doing? Well, self-exaltation is going around authority to become your own authority. You know, Adonijah was not going through David. He was not anointed by one of the Lord's prophets. But he went around authority so that he could become his own authority. And ultimately, really, that's what self-exaltation is. I'm going to promote myself instead of allowing myself to be promoted through the proper channels of authority. And there was a proper way that Adonijah, if God wanted him to be king, would become king. But it wasn't God's plan for Adonijah to become king. You know, there's a reason that probably that Adonijah didn't go, to David or go to certain people and say, hey, can I become king now? And so we find here this self-exaltation going around authority to become your own authority. You know, we have to watch out for that. When we go around authority to become something, what are we doing? Well, we're promoting ourselves rather than promoting God. All right, so then he says, saying, I will be king. And he prepared him chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. You know, self-exaltation is attractive to certain people. You know, there were other people that were willing to go along with Adonijah in order for him to try to make him to become king. And we're going to look at this point more later. But next, I'd like us to see that self-exaltation is something that needs to be dealt with early. You know, if you see this in your children's lives, if you see this beginning to take place, don't allow it to continue. You know, you notice your child, boy, they're struggling with pride. You know, don't just let them kind of continue down that road saying, well, someday it'll work its way out. Notice what it says here in verse number 6. It says, and his father had not displeased him at any time in saying, why hast thou done so? And he also was a very goodly man, and his mother bare him after Absalom. You know, so David wasn't questioning him. You know, what's going on here? What are you doing? All right, self-exaltation is something that needs to be dealt with. Now, David already had a problem with Absalom, didn't he? Exalting himself, becoming a king. And that was kind of a hornet's nest, wasn't it? And people that are exalting themselves, you know, it's not something that's easy to deal with. It can be a sticky situation. And maybe that's why David didn't try to, take control of the situation. And so it says at any time in saying, why hast thou done so? And then notice it says, and he also was a very goodly man, and his mother bare him after Solomon. You know, outward attraction does not equate to inward beauty. You know, Abijah was probably a pretty slick person. And he was able to quickly get other people to gather around him and try to make him to become king. And so you need to watch out for these type of individuals that can kind of go around authority to become their own authority. And then what do? They kind of get other people with them to promote their cause. Let's look at 2 Samuel. Let's see here. Where is it? What do I have it written down? 2 Samuel 14, as it talks about Absalom. It gives a description of him. Here it talks about his brother. Adonijah was Absalom's brother. And it says he was a very goodly man. All right, he was somebody that had outward beauty. 2 Samuel chapter 14 speaks of Absalom. 14 verse number 25. It says, but in all Israel, there was none to be so much praised as Absalom for his beauty. From the sole of his foot, even to the crown of his head, there was no blemish in him. So Absalom was a very good looking person. All right, he was somebody that sat at the gate. He was able to get the hearts of the people of Israel towards him. And they fell for it, didn't they? And they went after him and they tried to make him king. But was that God's will for Absalom to be king? No, it wasn't. And now we have his brother, Adonijah. And now he's seeking to do that same thing, to exalt himself instead of allowing God to exalt who it was his plan to exalt. Now, what happened to Absalom? Where did his self-exaltation bring him? He ended up dying, didn't he? All right, and so here, Self-exaltation needs to be dealt with early. We find there's outward attraction. You know, sometimes maybe these types of people can get people to gather around them, but we need to see beyond just the shell. And we need to see the inward. We need to see what's really taking place. Fourthly, and this kind of goes along with what's we've already said, we're going to focus on a little bit more. Self-exaltation finds people to promote their cause. Look at 1 Kings chapter 1. For we already saw there was 50 men to run before him. He prepared chariots and horsemen. It says here in verse number 7, it says, "And he conferred with Joab, the son of Zeruiah." So Joab was in charge of David's army, wasn't he? All right, he was a top official. And with Abiathar, the priest. Notice, he not only has a government official, somebody that's top in David's army, but he also has a spiritual person. He has the priest on his side. You know, people that are going to exalt themselves, they will look for key people that they can try to get behind what they're doing that's going to make their cause look okay, that's going to lend credence to what they're doing. And we need to watch out for that. That's happening right here in the Bible. It says, "And he conferred with Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and with Abiathar the priest, and they, following Adonijah, helped him." Now the question is, why would Joab go along with Adonijah? Now there are some positive things that Joab did in the life of David. You know, in fighting for him. I mean, at one time, David wanted him to do something and Joab realized it wasn't God's will. And it just, he didn't count really all the people because he just realized this wasn't right. But at other times, we see Joab really not completely under David's authority. And there was a situation where Joab's brother, Asahel, was killed. Asahel was following I believe it was Amasa. And he kept following him. And he's like, "Hey, turn back. Don't follow me." All right. And he kept going after him. And eventually, he was killed. I believe actually that was, maybe that was Abner. I'm maybe getting the story confused. But if we go to, let's go to 2 Samuel, chapter 18. Now, first, we'll look here at this story of Absalom. 2 Kings 18:9, it says, "And Absalom met the servants of David, and Absalom rode upon a mule, and the mule went under the thick boughs of a great oak. And his head caught hold of the oak, and he was taken up between the heaven and the earth, and the mule that was under him went away. And a certain man saw it and told Joab and said, 'Behold, I saw Absalom hanged in an oak.' And Joab said unto the man that told him, 'And behold, thou sawest him, and why didst thou not smite him there to the ground? And I would have given thee 10 shekels of silver and a girdle.' And the man said unto Joab, 'Though I should receive 1,000 shekels of silver in mine hand, yet would I not put forth mine hand against the king's son. For in our hearing, the king charged thee and Abishai and Ittai, saying, Behold, beware that none touch the young man Absalom.'" So here's Joab, you know, instructed, don't kill him. All right, but what was he going to do? He's going to go beyond David's orders and kind of take the matters into his own hands and do it. Let's go over to 2 Samuel chapter 3. Second Samuel chapter 3, verse number 24. It says here, "Then Joab came to the king and said, 'What hast thou done? Behold, Abner came unto thee. Why is it that thou hast sent him away and he is quite gone? Thou knowest Abner, the son of Ner, that he came to deceive thee and to know thy going out and thy coming in and to know all that thou doest.' And when Joab was come out from David, he sent messengers after Abner, which brought him again
from the well of Sirah, but David knew it not. When Abner was returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gate to speak with him quietly or peaceably, and smote him there under the fifth rib, that he died for the blood of Asahel his brother. Now Abner, was in charge of Saul's army, but at this point he had turned to side with David and was going to turn the kingdom, the remaining part, and help David to be able to take control. And he tells him, and David's wish was not, he did not want Abner to be killed. And Joab probably knew that, but he still went ahead and did it. And so we see points along the way in which Joab was not completely really submitted to the authority of David, although Joab did much to serve him faithfully. And in the end, what did Joab do? Well, Joab went with Adonijah. And we'll see what happened to Joab because of what he did. All right, now we also have Abiathar the priest who went with him. And you wonder, okay, why did he go with him? Well, if we go to 1 Kings chapter 2, 1 Kings chapter 2, as Solomon took over the kingship, it says, "And unto Abiathar the priest said the king, Get thee to Anathoth, unto thine own fields, for thou art worthy of death. But I will not at this time put thee to death, because thou bearest the ark of the Lord God before David my father, because thou hast been afflicted in all wherein my father was afflicted." So Solomon thrust out Abiathar from being priest unto the Lord, that he might fulfill the word of the Lord which he spake concerning the house of Eli in Shiloh. So we have here him associated with the house of Eli, but here was somebody that had lived for God. But what did he do? He went with the wrong man at the end, somebody who was exalting himself. And what did it bring him? It brought him abasement. He was abased. He did good for so long, even though he was associated with the house of Eli. I don't know if that may have something to do with it. Why he would maybe choose this wrong leader. And yet we see the danger. And that's something I'd like us to... So we find there's self-exaltation finds people to promote their cause. All right, he found a spiritual leader. He found another leader in Israel that would go along with him. And did that make it right? Well, no. You can find people to promote your cause, but that doesn't mean that your cause is right. And so, but I like us to see that self-exaltation will bring you down. We find here in Abiathar's life what happened. He was brought down. He was thrust from the priesthood as he went with a person that God had not chosen to be the king. Let's look at what happened in Joab's life, verses 28 through 32 of the same chapter. It says, "Then tidings came to Joab, for Joab had turned after Adonijah, though he turned not after Absalom." He's good one time, but this time he wasn't. "And Joab fled unto the tabernacle of the Lord and caught hold on the horns of the altar. And it was told King Solomon that Joab was fled unto the tabernacle of the Lord. And behold, he is by the altar. Then Solomon sent Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, saying, Go fall upon him. And Benaiah came to the tabernacle of the Lord and said unto him, Thus saith the king, Come forth. And he said, Nay, but I will die here. And Benaiah brought the king word again, saying, Thus saith Joab, and thus he answered me. And the king said unto him, Do as he has said, and fall upon him and bury him, that thou mayest take away the innocent blood which Joab shed from me and from the house of my father. And the Lord shall return his blood upon his own head, who fell upon two men more righteous and better than he, and slew them with the sword, my father David, not knowing thereof, to wit, Abner the son of Ner, captain of the host of Israel, and Amasa the son of Jether, captain of the host of Judah." So we find here, Joab is brought low, is brought down. What happens to Adonijah? Verses 24 and 25 of the same chapter. It says here, "Now therefore, As the Lord liveth, which hath established me and set me on the throne of David my father, and who hath made me an house, as he promised, Adonijah shall be put to death this day. This is when he, well, let me just read. And King Solomon sent by the hand of Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and he fell upon him that he died. So here's another man gone. You know, the man that exalted himself. And we have to see the danger of this. You know, you get around people that are exalting themselves. Maybe they feel like, boy, I deserve something. You know, I deserve to be an authority. I deserve, you know, maybe Adonijah thought that, boy, I should be able to become king. You know, I've got the ability. You know, there may have been people thinking, boy, you're talented. I mean, he was a good-looking person. Maybe he had some great ability. You know, his brother Absalom had the ability to get people to go with him. He sat at the gate and he's like, I can't remember the story exactly, but the king's not going to listen to you on this matter. And he would give them ear and listen to them, and he won over the hearts of the people. But we need to see, when people exalt themselves, what happens? Destruction. Adonijah dead. Abiathar out of the priesthood. Joab dead, also a result of his other sins that he committed. And what's interesting in this story is that there were certain people that Adonijah invited to go along with him, and there were certain people that Adonijah did not invite to go with him. All right, let's go to some verses. Let's go to verse number 8 of 1 Kings chapter 1. All right, so it talks about how Joab went with him, Abiathar the priest. It says in verse number 8, though, it says, but Zadok the priest and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada and Nathan the prophet and Shimei and Rei and the mighty men which belonged to David were not with Adonijah. It said here in verse 9, and Adonijah slew sheep and oxen and fat cattle by the stone of Zeholeth, which is by Enrogel, and called all his brethren the king's sons, and all the men of Judah the king's servants. But Nathan the prophet and Benaiah and the mighty men and Solomon his brother he called not. You know, there were particular people that Adonijah chose not to invite to make him king. Now, why is that? You know, when somebody is exalting themselves, there's certain people that they gather around themselves, but there's other people that they don't invite to gather around themselves. And in our own lives, we need to be careful. We need to be watchful. We need to be aware of those that are inviting us along with them to go along with their cause. And it can identify maybe what's happening in our lives by the type of people that are willing to invite us to go along with their cause. And here, you know, Nathan the prophet, you know, why didn't he invite Nathan the prophet to go with him? Well, Nathan the prophet had a good relationship with who? With King David, didn't he? I mean, it's not that Nathan the prophet just went along with whatever David did. Obviously, Nathan the prophet came and he confronted King David about his sin with Bathsheba. All right, but Nathan the prophet had a good relationship with David. He was a man of God. You know, was he going to go along with Adonijah? No, he knew who the next king, you know, was supposed to be. It says in verse 11, wherefore Nathan spake, he finds out about it unto Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, saying, hast thou not heard that Adonijah, the son of Haggith, doth reign, and David our Lord knoweth it not? Now therefore come, let me, I pray thee, give thee counsel that thou mayest save thine own life and the life of thy son Solomon. You know, so there was some knowledge going on about really what should be taking place. And just things to be aware of in our own lives is, it's so important when Christ says, you know, those that exalt themselves shall be abased, but the humble shall be exalted. It's true. I mean, you can look in the Word of God and you can look at this story and you can just see all of this playing right out. And Andrew Murray said, when the serpent breathed the poison of his pride, the desire to be as God into the heart of our first parents, that they too fell from their high estate into all the wretchedness which man is now sunk. In heaven and earth, pride, self-exaltation is the gate and the birth and the curse of hell. You know, it really goes right back to what the devil was trying to do in the garden. Oh, you know, you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Exalt yourself. What did Satan do? I will do this. I will be like the Most High. I will, you know, what was he doing? He's exalting himself. He was trying to take over the rightful authority of God. It's something that we need to watch out for. Another man said, his name is Robert Kelly, that which attracts the world must please and pander to the self-importance of man. Notice that which attracts the world must please and pander to the self-importance of man. The world itself is a vain show and like its own. Consequently, there is nothing which so carries the mass of men along with it as that which flatters the vanity of the human mind. It may assume the lowliest air, but sinful man seeks his own honor and present exaltation. You know, self-exaltation is something that we face, every one of us. It's something that has gone on since Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Before that, when Satan in his pride was lifted up and sought to exalt himself against God. And you know, the Bible says that in the last days, men shall be what? Lovers of their own selves. We live in a day in which people want to exalt their thinking. They want to exalt their authority. They want to exalt themselves rather than what? Than the Word of God. And we need to make sure that we're not swayed by the reasoning of men and not make sure we are swayed by the Word of God. You know, Adonijah, he may have had some great reasons, you know, why these people should go along with him. But he did not follow the right authority structure to become king in Israel. And there were maybe some people that thought, we got something going for ourselves here. But what did it result in? Some of them lost their lives because they went along with somebody who exalted himself. Let's bow and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray that you would help us to have the humility. Lord, to allow you to promote us as you would see fit. Lord, it's so easy to think that we deserve something. Lord, it's so easy for us to want to grab something for ourselves. Lord, it's so easy for us to be able to become independent in our thinking instead of biblical in our thinking. And Lord, we have self-exaltation happening all around us in our society. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to be aware of the danger of it. We pray that we would be able to see beyond, Lord, the spiritual facade that can be put up when people are promoting themselves. Lord, even as Adonijah had one of the priests that got behind his cause, but that didn't make his cause right. And Lord, tonight I just pray that we as your people would be warned. And that by faith we would simply submit ourselves to you. Lord, that we would humble ourselves under your mighty hand. That you would exalt us in due season. And Lord, even as we go into our prayer time, Lord, may we have humility when we go home tonight. Lord, instead of seeking to have things pandered to our own needs, Lord, that we would have a humble opinion. And we would allow the humility of Christ to take over in our lives. Lord, we can be so prone to pride. And Lord, I just pray that you would help us to get victory over that in our lives. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.